What if I told you that a key material in next-generation electric vehicles and AI devices is set to grow its output by over 40-fold starting in 2026, a component that could dramatically extend EV range and enable extreme fast charging is moving from the lab to the factory floor, and the race to control its supply chain is on. This isn't a decade away. It's happening now. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology developments shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, we're tracking a global battery arms race. It's not just about electric cars anymore. We're seeing a massive geopolitical contest for supply chain dominance, a revolution in the core materials that make up the batteries themselves, and an unprecedented infrastructure build-out to power the AI revolution. The battle lines are being drawn by governments, from Washington to Brussels to Beijing.
Exactly. We're moving beyond theoretical advantages to industrial policy. The US, EU, and China are deploying billions in public funds to secure their domestic manufacturing, creating both immense opportunities and significant competitive threats for Western companies. This is where strategy meets the factory floor.
Let's start with that government-fueled competition. We're seeing huge spending announcements. What's the strategic picture, Troy?
It's a three-way race to de-risk supply chains. In the U.S., the Department of Energy is deploying a $3 billion grant program under the Infrastructure Investment and Jobs Act. Just this week, it reinstated a $57 million grant to American Battery Technology Co. to build a lithium refining facility in Nevada. The goal is to onshore critical mineral processing.
And Europe is feeling the pressure?
Acutely. The EU imported 27 billion euros worth of batteries in 2024, with 87% of that coming from China. In response, they've launched a new strategy under the Net Zero Industrial Act. It includes a 1.5 billion euro interest-free loan facility and, crucially, cuts permitting times for new gigafactories from years down to just 9-12 months.
So the West is trying to catch up, but what is China doing to maintain its lead?
They're changing the economics of the entire system. A new policy, Notice 1114, introduces capacity charges for energy storage systems. This makes the levelized cost of storage for a standard grid-scale battery in China 28% to 40% lower than in the US or Japan. They aren't just subsidizing production, they're guaranteeing profitability.
Okay, let's break this down. What does this mean for a U.S. or European parts manufacturer?
For manufacturers, it's a dual-edged sword. The U.S. and EU policies create a massive opportunity to secure funding and build domestic capacity. But China's policy makes their domestic market hyper-competitive and creates a formidable cost advantage for their best exports. European manufacturers face a direct threat from Chinese systems that are now significantly cheaper due to state policy.
And for trading companies?
For trading and distribution firms, sourcing diversification is now a strategic imperative. You need to map suppliers against these policy landscapes. Sourcing from the EU or US might offer political stability and incentives, but sourcing from China could provide a significant cost advantage, albeit with geopolitical risk.
So the actionable insight for executives?
Immediately investigate these grant and loan opportunities in the US and EU. Simultaneously, conduct a risk assessment of your supply chain's exposure to China, factoring in both the new cost advantages their policies create and the potential for Western tariffs.
Beyond the factory locations, the technology inside the battery is also changing fast. We're hearing about a move beyond standard lithium ion. What's gaining traction?
Two areas are accelerating towards industrialization: silicon carbon anodes and lithium sulfur cathodes. Silicon carbon is poised for 40-fold growth in output post-2026. The key is that silicon has 10 times the theoretical energy capacity of graphite, the current standard anode material.
But I've heard silicon has a major flaw. It swells up and breaks down.
It does. It has a volumetric expansion of up to 300%. But companies like Group 14 Technologies and Sila Nanotechnologies have solved this by encapsulating silicon nanoparticles within a rigid carbon scaffold. This allows for the energy density gains without the mechanical degradation. Automakers are already integrating it. GAC Group plans to have a 400 watt-hour per kilogram semi-solid-state battery with a silicon anode in trials by the second half of 2026.
And what about lithium sulfur?
That's the other side of the battery, the cathode. In the UK, a government-funded project called Co-Re-Solus involves Nissan, the University of Oxford, and Gelion. they're developing lithium sulfur solid state batteries. The goal is to hit a practical energy density of 500-600 watt-hour per kilogram, double that of current batteries, while eliminating expensive and controversial minerals like cobalt and nickel. The global market is projected to exceed $1.2 billion by 2035.
For a European car manufacturer, what's the competitive implication here?
They need to be placing strategic bets now. Choosing to back silicon carbon versus lithium sulfur or another chemistry will dictate R&D partnerships, factory tooling, and the performance of their 2030 vehicle lineup. U.S. manufacturers of high-performance electronics and drones also need this technology to stay competitive.
What should a trading company that deals in raw materials know?
They need to prepare for a major shift. The demand for battery-grade graphite may face a long-term challenger. The new high-value supply chain for nano-engineered silicon carbon composites and high-purity sulfur is emerging. Securing supply contracts with the early leaders like Group 14 could be a significant competitive advantage.
The key takeaway for executives?
Assemble a dedicated technology intelligence team to assess these next-generation materials. Don't wait for them to be commoditized. The time for pilot projects and strategic partnerships with the startups commercializing these breakthroughs is now.
All this new battery tech needs a market, and it seems the insatiable energy demand from AI data centers is creating one overnight.
It's the single biggest new driver for energy storage, and it's pushing the industry beyond just lithium ion for grid-scale applications. While Tesla is building a massive 50-gigawatt megapack factory in Texas, the really interesting developments are in alternative long-duration storage chemistries designed specifically for these power-hungry data centers.
What kind of alternatives are we talking about?
Take a project in Switzerland. FlexBase and Invinity Energy Systems are designing the world's largest vanadium flow battery, a 1.5 gigawatt, 2.1 gigawatt hour system. It uses liquid vanadium electrolyte in large tanks. The key advantages for a data center are its near zero capacity degradation over 20,000 cycles and the fact that it's non-flammable.
So it's safer and lasts longer than lithium ion for this type of constant use. Any others?
Yes. In Italy, a company called Energy Dome has unveiled its CO2 Battery Plus. It stores energy by compressing carbon dioxide into a liquid. It boasts a 30-year lifespan with no degradation and uses standard industrial components, which lowers the cost. They already have a commercial pilot slated to go online in the U.S. in 2026.
This is fascinating. It's a whole new category of industrial hardware. How does this affect a typical U.S. or European manufacturer who doesn't make batteries?
This is a huge opportunity. These new systems, vanadium flow and CO2 batteries, are less about electrochemistry and more about industrial process equipment. They need pumps, valves, compressors, heat exchangers, and sophisticated control systems. A European industrial manufacturer can pivot their existing product lines to serve this new, rapidly growing market.
And for distributors and trading companies?
The market is diversifying. They need to look beyond sourcing lithium battery cells. There's a new demand for high-purity vanadium, specialized gas turbines, and CO2 handling equipment. Building relationships with companies like Invinity and Energy Dome now could open up a major new business line. It's also critical they understand the new, stricter safety standards, like UL 9540A 6th edition, which now mandates installation-level fire testing for all BESS projects.
The actionable insight?
Executives in traditional industrial manufacturing should immediately assess if their products can be adapted for these long-duration storage systems. The AI power crunch is creating a market for industrial hardware that didn't exist 2 years ago.
So, Troy, let's bring it all together. What are the three key takeaways from this week for executives in the U.S. and Europe?
First, industrial policy is now industrial strategy. The multi-billion dollar incentives in the U.S. and EU are a direct call to action to reshore manufacturing, but you must also account for China's policy moves, which are aggressively lowering the cost of their energy storage systems. You have to play the global subsidy game to compete.
Second,
the materials inside the battery are changing, and fast. Silicon carbon anodes are not a research project. They are scheduled for vehicle integration in late 2026. This will shift material demands away from graphite and towards new, high-performance composites. Executives must monitor their competitors' technology choices and secure their own next-generation material supply chains.
And the final takeaway?
The grid is the new frontier, thanks to AI. The boom in data centers has created a massive, urgent market for long-duration energy storage. This is a golden opportunity for industrial manufacturers, not just battery companies. Technologies like vanadium flow and CO2 batteries require pumps, tanks, and controls, the core of European and American industrial strength.
A complex but opportunity-rich landscape. Thank you, Troy. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing. We hope this analysis provides the intelligence you need to stay ahead in a rapidly changing market. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
Join us next week for more Troy Technical Intelligence. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss a briefing.